1. Colchester, Essex, England, late June, 1809. Twilight's gloom lengthened the shadows in the old cemetery as Theodosia, humming Robin Adair, a Scottish love song certain to vex her father, wended her way through the grave markers and the occasional gangly rosebush or shrubbery in need of pruning. Having lived at the rectory her entire life, she found the graveyard neither frightening nor eerie. Those lying in eternal rest included a brother who'd died in infancy, several townspeople she'd known, and even a few gentry and nobles for whom father had performed funerals. As children, she and her sisters and brother had frolicked amongst the stones and statuary, playing hide-and-seek and other games. Situated on the east side of All Saints Church to catch the rising sun each morning, the churchyard provided a convenient, often used shortcut to the parsonage's back entrance.
"Why?"
A deep, anguished whisper drifted across the expanse. Though she didn't believe in ghosts, and despite her velvet spencer, an icy prickle zipped down her spine, causing the hairs on her arms to stand at attention. Lifting her robin's egg blue chintz gown with one hand, she paused and glanced around, but saw nothing out of the ordinary. A plump greyish-brown rabbit, enjoying a snack before finding its way home for the evening, watched her with wary black-button eyes. After another moment of studying the familiar landscape, Theodosia continued on her way. She must have imagined the voice. The wind had whipped up in the last few minutes. Sometimes the two ancient oaks acting as sentinels at the cemetery entrance groaned in such a way that the swaying branches sounded as if they were moaning in protest. Perhaps Jessica's chickens had made an odd noise, Theodosia reassured herself, as the wind lashed her skirts around her ankles. Situated on the other side of the parish, where the vegetable and flower gardens were, the chickens often made odd-sounding cackles and clucks. The empty basket that had held the chicken soup and bread she'd delivered to the sick Ulrich family this afternoon banged against her thigh as she resumed her humming, even daring to sing a line from the song since she'd inspected the area and her parents weren't present to chastise her. "Yet him I loved so well.
Why'd you do it?"
The same tormented baritone rasped through the burial ground once more. That, by Jehoshaphat, she had not imagined. She stopped again and turned in a slow circle, trying to peer around the greeneries and headstones. Many were large and ornate, and she couldn't see past the nearby stone markers.
"I just want to know why."
The rabbit froze for a second before darting into the hedgerow. A shiver tiptoed across Theodosia's shoulders, and she swallowed against a flicker of fear. "Come now, Theodosia Josephine Clarice Brentwood, you are made of sterner stuff." Besides, ghosts didn't slur their words. At least she didn't think so. Gathering her resolve, she pulled herself to her full 5 feet 9 inches and called, "Who's there?" She squinted into the dusk. The voice had come from the graveyard's far side, the side reserved for aristocrats and nobles. Another wind gust whistled through the dogwoods and flowering cherry trees bordering the cemetery's north side and tugged at the brim of her new straw bonnet. She held it tightly to keep it in place. Once more, a mumbled phrase, or perhaps a sob this time, followed on the tails of the crisp breeze. What distraught soul had ventured into the graveyard at this hour? Visitors usually came round in the morning or afternoon. On occasion, they even picnicked amongst those who'd gone before them. Superstitions and unwarranted fears usually kept mourners away as darkness descended, however. Whoever the person was, they were in distress for certain, and Theodosia's compassionate nature demanded she offer to help. Slipping the basket over her forearm, she strode in the direction she thought she'd heard the voice coming from. As she rounded a weeping angel tombstone, so old and discoloured the writing could scarce be read any more, she skidded to a halt. A man, a very startlingly attractive man, lay amongst the dead. Rather, surrounded by a low, pointed iron fence, he lounged atop what must be his greatcoat, his back against a 6-foot marble marker. Even in death, the dukes and duchesses of Sutcliffe, as well as their immediate kin, kept themselves separated from the commoners, those they deemed beneath their illustrious blue-blooded touch. That was what the locals claimed, in any event. She'd never found the Sutcliffes uppity or unfriendly, a mite stuffy and formal for certain, as nobility often were, but never unkind. Not that she'd spent a great deal of time in any of their company. Preposterously long legs crossed at the ankles, and his raven hair dishevelled, as if he'd been running his fingers through it, the gentleman took a lengthy swig from a green bottle. Whiskey. Father would kick up a fierce dust if he found out. The tanned column of the man